We kick off hour number two of the program. It's brought to you by Volunteer State Insurance Brokers. It's David Britt and his team. And don't forget, you've only got a few days left to get registered for the Daytona Beach giveaway. All you have to do is get a free health or life insurance quote from Volunteer State Insurance Brokers and make sure you're following them on Twitter, at @DBritt_VolState. It's at @DBritt, B-R-I-T-T, _VolState. Follow on Twitter, and then make sure you get a free health or life insurance quote. They don't need a lot of personal information or anything. Just email davidbritt@volunteerstateinsurance.com or go to volunteerstateinsurance.com, and you can chat right through the website there, or you can call them if that is what you prefer, 865-224-3243. Just give them basic information, and they can get you a quote, and you'll be registered to win, and you might end up with better insurance than you have right now. It's Volunteer State Insurance Brokers online at volunteerstateinsurance.com. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Up first this hour we have T-Carp. What's up, T?
Hey, guys. I hope y'all are doing well. My oldest daughter is starting school July the 17th. She's going to one of the year-round schools here in Blount County. And they've sent out that same one where, hey, we can do the virtual school and all that. And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, Houston, you know exactly where I work, what I do. Could you imagine a 5-year-old in that environment trying to learn?
Nope.
And then my wife works at UT Hospital. So it's just like, how would we make that work if we had to do the online learning? It's absolutely
that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just not an option for some people. It's not an option if both parents work and can't. So then, like, what's the next move? Do you have, like, all the students go to, like, a daycare? Then what's the difference? Yeah. They're at school. They'll be virtually learning together when they could just be going to school.
I 100% agree with you. Well, I don't get it. And then, Nate, you really got into something that resonated with me, is we are really mentally soft when it comes to this stuff. At some point, we have to realize we can't keep everybody safe. We cannot keep everybody healthy. And I never want anyone to get sick. I don't want anyone to die. But unfortunately, there are things in life and risks that we have to take as a society to move forward. God forbid that we actually ever have to go to war ever again, because I don't know how mentally this society could even take that, right? If we're worried about a pandemic that may, has a death rate of, you can argue that whatever, but I just don't think it's that serious of a health issue to begin with. Anyway, guys, thank you so much. Y'all be good.
Thanks for the call, T-Carp. There's also data from daycares. You mentioned daycares.
Mm-hmm.
They've had to keep daycares open for essential workers, kids. They've done some,
sure,
basically kind of like you get a special, exemption to keep your kids in certain daycares. There hasn't been outbreaks there. Mm. Like, all the data, like, what happened to all these leaders that say, we're going to follow the science, we're going to follow the data, we're going to follow the data, but then they don't? That drives me nuts. Like, I don't understand that. It makes no sense. And that's what leaders, that's what their job is. A lot of the problems, a lot of the reasons people are scared is because their leaders aren't out there saying, hey, this is, like, the people they follow, they trust, they voted for, aren't out there saying, guys, listen, this isn't that bad. Here's the numbers. Here's the data. We have to be strong. I mean, that's what leaders that win wars do, right?
Mm.
Yeah. They come out and say, yeah, people are going to die, but less people will die if we do this. Trust me. Right or wrong, that's what they do. Our leaders won't do anything. Our leaders are saying, well, I have to listen to the health department. It's the health department's fault.
That's what, it's passing the buck.
Yeah. Well, we'll work. Every statement that's put out is, we're working closely with, and they list all the other people
that they can rope in,
that can take the blame if something goes wrong. That our leaders operate under the, like, don't get blamed for anything umbrella. you know how like the like nurses and doctors have like the do no harm is kind of their first, you know, the first step, like the mantra, like do no harm, then go from there. Our leaders are under a don't get blamed for bleep. Like that's their plan right now. Which it doesn't even make any sense politically. Because you can kill all your old people, like Cuomo did in New York, and still take credit for things. He's not even getting blamed by his people. His side, they're still promoting his ass. So I don't even know why leaders are scared. They really have no consequences. Because most people are going to vote red or vote blue no matter what. So I don't understand why they don't at least try to do what's in our best interest. At least make an attempt, maybe, occasionally. And the people that, you know, just vote and don't yell at you on Twitter every day, the people that just vote and put you into office, maybe you'll earn the respect of some of those people that are paying attention. Because most people, you're going to get their vote one way or the other, depending on whose mind, what mind they've already made up years ago or their parents' mind, you know, and they've always been on that side of the coin. Like, I don't know. It's part of the problem with only having two parties to vote for, too. But don't get me started on that. Try to stay out of politics. That is just impossible right now.
I will not get you started on that. I'll do my best.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, send the kids to school. My God, T-Carp's right. The families that are hurt the most by lockdown are the ones that need their kids in school the most.
So they can go to work.
That's the thing. Like, you... The same political people that say they're trying to protect the underserved are the same people that want to lock down and hurt the underserved. It's the most hypocritical circle I've seen. Like, I don't understand this. But I think it's because, and I don't think these are big conspiracy theories. I don't believe in that. I believe 99.9% of people in every decision do whatever they think is best for them every single time. And a lot of these people are like, well, I don't want to get blamed for that. So I'll make a weird, vague statement. I'll loop in a bunch of other people I can blame. I'll not make a decision today, or I'll extend something. You know, I'll extend some vague order. I'll extend the state of emergency so I get more money, because more money means I can pay these people over here and keep them happy and they won't complain. I can add it to my list of bullet points that I'll put on my next election poster. Like, it goes back to that tweet that's just gone crazy, where it's like people want to be thought as a good person more than they want to just be a good person. It's the same thing with leadership. They want to be able to just talk about the stuff they did, even when they really should have done nothing, because that would have been more effective. It's just a mess. It's an absolute mess, and they want to make sure that there's nothing they can be blamed for. Like, we don't want to act normal, because then if something goes bad, we'll get blamed for it. People are asking me to do something, so I got to do something, even if that's the wrong decision. Like, if kids... football is football. If most of the players say they don't feel safe and they're not going to play, then I don't know what you do with that. But, like, sending kids... like, the actual school event... like, I mean, that's education, like, right? I mean, isn't that what... isn't that what all these people preach year round? Is these student athletes and da 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 da, like?
Well, they're still leaning on that, saying, "Oh, well, they'll just go virtual," which in a collegiate setting is fine, but when you're talking about young children,
it's impossible.
Who live with their parents, who the parents have to work to put food on the table for the child. How do you do that? How's that? I mean,
it's impossible.
Yeah, I don't know how.
I mean, my wife and I still...
You can't do that in one summer. Like, you can't just change everything to that and expect it to go smoothly. Like, if that would take years, really, to get families prepared to do something like that. People were locked down, unable to go to work. They can finally go back to work, and now you're going to say that, nope, you're going to have to stay home and take care of your kid because they're not coming to school. What? We're just going to cancel school? Eternal summer forever?
I mean, I swear it's already hurting my kids' like behavior.
Oh, no.
If that makes sense.
That's been...
like, their mental, you know.
that a lot of people have written that article. I feel like it gets kind of glossed over every time, but like what is going on with our country with the lockdown and what it's doing to young children as they develop their brains and their personalities, it's mm-hmm. going to impact for a long time our country. I mean, it's an important part of development, of growth, of becoming the person that they will ultimately be, and now they're having to deal with this. And especially like young children who don't really fully understand it. What a terrifying world to suddenly be welcomed into. It's problematic.
Getting some feedback on Twitter. We'll hit that next and get into we'll shift gears a little bit, get into some other topics as well. I don't know what you do if like 99% of college football players are like, yeah, we're good to go, and then there's 1%. I had a conversation about this yesterday with when people say, I don't feel safe. And there are people saying that. There are people that have said that to obviously get out of work and continue to collect their unemployment, and it's pretty obvious. Then there are people who have obvious reasons where you can understand why they would need more protection from mm-hmm. COVID-19, and that's pretty obvious. And then there's the gray area in the middle where you're not really sure, so no one even questions it. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are like, well, I don't feel safe. I don't want to do that job really, so I don't feel safe. It's the big like cop out to not having to do anything. And I mean there's not really a good solution for that, because there are people mm-hmm. that genuinely
you want to be case by case, but it's
when people lie, it hurts people on both sides that are telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come back with more. Stick with us. Fan Run Radio, Hour 2, 3 and Out. Come on here. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. Nathan Janeway tweets in, you're talking about being soft. What are we teaching this generation of kids? Stay home anytime you're scared? Yeah, pretty much. Just cancel it. Just cancel the event. Cancel the, you know, cancel the meeting. Cancel the whatever. Like, just avoid it. Like, just anytime anything gets hard, just, you know,
blame someone else.
And I don't subscribe to this, but that's what football coaches say about transferring, right? Like transferring schools, like no one ever sticks it out anymore. I mean, I actually disagree with that a little bit, but they're talking about that same dynamic. That, I mean, it was the writer the other day talking about how he wanted to quit. He wanted to quit his first college he went to play football, and come home, and his parents wouldn't let him. Was it Trevor Lawrence that wanted to quit football like his freshman year of high school or something? And his mom was
I don't
know. No, you're way that. Too good at this. Like, you're just having a moment. Like, you cannot. No. You know what I mean? Like,
It's like the classic sitcom dilemma when the son doesn't want to go beat up his bully, or he's getting bullied at school and doesn't want to go to school and he doesn't want to fight his problems.
Just run and hide.
Yeah.
We'll just run and hide. That'll fix it all. I mean, I got a DM that said the kids need to go to school for many reasons. And then gave an example of one of my kids is not going to do well with online learning. And I've heard that from tons of parents. They need teachers in front of them, peers around them, hold them accountable. And that, you know, society is soft. That kids need to be around other kids. Kids need friends to socialize with. I mean, my kids have been lucky. Like, there are other kids in the neighborhood that they were already playing with, like, from the get-go. So when we were, like, in the lockdown, like, they just kept playing with those same kids, and they weren't around any other kids. So I don't, you know. We even, there were some kids in the neighborhood whose parents really wanted them to social distance. I mean, my kids were aware of which kids – they were supposed to make sure that they and it was amazing how they would obey that. They're like, oh yeah, don't, you know, make sure they played a sight version of freeze tag or something, where they, like, if they got within 6 feet, they froze. It was crazy how, like, they just adjusted and just kept having social. But I can't imagine the parent with kids in an apartment complex where they don't know it, where maybe they just moved there or something, new place.
Yeah.
No green space to go really out into, like in an apartment building or whatever. No other kids to socialize with, to run, you know, to be able to get that much open space to play. I mean, a lot of these people, a lot of these places, they're saying, don't let your kids go to someone else's. Like, even if you have other friends in the apartment complex, like, they don't want the kids indoors, like, sitting mm-hmm. beside each other playing. But there's no real way to, you can't have them playing out in the parking lot. Some of those places don't have, you know, green space areas, whatever. I mean, a lot of this is just completely unrealistic. We're calling plays that society can't execute. And then we wonder why it's going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We're in shotgun at the goal line.
And we were talking about something on air that, or off air, that reminded me, like, it feels like travel and vacation and party time is way up. I mean, it's just through the roof among people that aren't scared.
Yeah, because they weren't allowed to do it for a long time. And now that they can, they're like doubling down.
So we talked about the people that are scared. People that aren't scared are probably, I mean, I don't know. This is still just a guess because the data has been so bad. But, I mean, I would assume that them moving around that much and is contributing to the cases spiking, like you said earlier. It would have to. Now, I don't know. The good news is the deaths keep going down, and those cases don't. We have established that cases do not increase death. That is a lie. Do not let anyone tell you that more cases lead to death from a statistical standpoint. There's zero statistical evidence. In fact, if you look at, I mean, you can do a really basic thing, even if you're not a statistician. Look at go to Google, type in New York COVID numbers, and click on cases, and then click on deaths, and you'll see like the same curve. Like, it's not like the cases spiked and then the deaths spiked 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, a month later. Didn't happen at all. It was all at the same time, which means either, it's probably both, they're counting deaths as COVID as they happen in real time, and there's this phenomenon where people read about some death in their area, so they go get tested even though they don't have symptoms, and so you find more positive tests that are asymptomatic or very mild symptoms. There's a whole scatterplot on the whole thing that, like, there's no correlation between number of cases and death. So the only trick is protect the people that are most likely to die.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we should have been doing from the get-go. That's what some scientists said, and no one listened to them.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, at the beginning, it kind of made sense because you didn't really know how the virus right. would impact different age groups. But now that we have so much data,
it's all right there in front of us. But if we're gonna decide to ignore the mountains of data that say kids are fine, then that gives me no hope for us trying to sort through data that's more complex. I mean, it makes no sense. I don't know. And then what does that mean for college football, SEC media days, all that stuff? I mean, if you have a few players say, I don't want to play, then I think you just have to move on, right? You just have to move on without them. That's what the NBA is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a few players test positive, so they're up in the air. One player tested positive, so he said that he's not playing, which makes no sense. I don't know what his deal is. Maybe we could, you know, maybe he'll say more stuff, or maybe as
he
it
said
goes.
He wasn't going to be there for the start of it, right? That was DeAndre Jordan?
Yeah, that's kind of what the article said, but he made it sound like he was just done.
Yeah, it was kind of unclear.
Adam Silver basically admitted that if they get too many cases, they'd have to shut down the NBA. Now, I don't know if that's kind of like an obvious statement, like, yeah, if there's somebody who got sick at one time that we can't play the games, then mm-hmm. we'll just have to not play the games. I mean, that would make sense. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Or does he mean that, like, there's some magic number where they're afraid that, well, we got 12 cases. That's just too many. Like, we're afraid of a spike, so we're going to shut down before we get a spike. I don't know if that's what he means. If that's what he means, I think that's kind of dumb. We are testing daily. We haven't put a precise number on it, but if we were to see a large number of cases and see spread in our community, that would be, of course, be a cause to stop as well. I guess he was
like, that's what we've been sent. Like, it's going to spread. It's going to continue to spread.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, I felt like we knew that. Felt like we knew that once we opened back up, it was going to spread. The question was, can we handle it? Now, if you're saying that half the league has the virus and they're unable to play when they do, okay, that's different. That makes sense. But I don't know why we're surprised that.
I mean, if half the league gets it, they should suspend for 3 weeks and then they'll be good to go.
Exactly. I don't. Clemson, man. Dabo's ahead of the curve.
Got it figured out.
What are they up to? 37?
Last I heard, yep.
Must love the station.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, I don't think there's any way at this point.
Anyway, what?
I,
you don't see them, they'll play?
No, I think they might try. I just don't think there's any sports league that'll get going and not have to either shut it all the way down or teams will miss set amount of time. I mean, let's say you're Texas A&M. Kellen Mond gets it. I mean, it's kind of like being injured, right? Okay, you're injured for 2 weeks.
Okay, how do they know he got it?
He tests positive.
But why did they test him?
I don't know.
The SEC has said they're not testing unless they have symptoms. So does he have symptoms?
No.
Then he's just going to play and pass it.
That was a hypothetical.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, if he tests positive for whatever reason, like, let's say one day he comes in.
He gets a fever.
He has a slight fever because it was hot outside and he was running to get to the facility. Oh, he has a fever. Well, we're going to test him. Oh, he actually does have.
Okay.
He has to sit for 2 weeks. If you're Jimbo Fisher, well, let's say it's not just him. Let's say it's like five players that are starters. Like, how do you handle that if you're Jimbo Fisher? How do you handle that if you're Texas A&M? It's like, oh, yeah, we're out 22 players today who have COVID-19. Here comes Alabama. They're going to be – like, what do you do? Do you play the game? Or do you just say, we're going to wait 2 weeks? Do you forfeit two – I don't know. That's the thing. There's not a cookie-cutter answer here for what teams would ultimately want to do.
And what they do with the flu is, if the kid feels so bad that he can't play, he doesn't play.
Right.
And if he feels okay, then they just let him play. And then he passes the flu to another team. And then it repeats there.
Right.
Is it crazy to do that same?
No, it's not. But that's not how people are viewing this. The flu is more dangerous to those in that age group. But I understand a healthy respect for the virus. So, like, I wouldn't willingly get the flu. So I'm not saying people should willingly want to get this. I'm just saying, like, there's not a good answer for what happens in the middle of the season if there's an outbreak or a spike on a team or in an area, and then what do you do? They said they want to push conference championship games back 1 week.
That's not going
to
matter.
What if you have to postpone three games, four games?
I mean, if we're going to be this scared, you might as well just shut down life as we know it, start hunting and gathering or something. I mean, that's the point. Like, when do we get over it? Like, when are you going to get over it?
Well, that's my thinking. I feel like everyone's kind of sitting back and waiting for the bombshell, like, vaccine or cure or whatever. And I don't think that's coming anytime soon.
I mean, there's a lot of debate whether the vaccine
will ever work.
Yeah. Ever. Like, this will always just be a thing. So at what point, like, how long does it take for people to just be like, okay. I mean, let's say it is pretty deadly. Let's say that that there's never going to be a vaccine. It's going to run through, let's say it's going to run through the population once a year like it does. Let's say antibodies only last about 8 months and that you could get this over and over and over and it's always going to kill 0.5% of anyone it comes in contact with. At what point do you say, all right, well, going to drive 70, even though that increases my risk of death on the interstate by X amount. I could go 35 on the back road and take it real easy and be safe. But I want to get to work faster. I want to be able to do more things in life. I mean, you make those decisions all the time, but I don't know how long it takes us, a whole generation. Is it going to be our kids that are like, man, those old timers, they were sure were idiots. Their quality of life sucked. And now we're going to, or is it a year? Is it 10 years? Is it 6 months? Is it, you know, when the whole South has no SEC football, are they just going to riot and be like, we're like, I don't care who it is, find some kids willing to play? Like, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question.
I mean, if they're, there absolutely would be, like, protests, riots in the South if there's no – and not even just the South. I mean, go to Columbus, Ohio, and Michigan. Ann Arbor, Michigan. Like, it would be there, too.
The I mean, the SEC, I thought, had the right thing on their task force. Like, we're not testing guys unless they have symptoms. Because really, as those players pass it around, if they're all asymptomatic, that's a good thing. Mm. They'll now have antibodies. And I know people are like, well, we don't know the long-term effects on their lungs. If they have no symptoms, I know we're guessing. But if you have no symptoms of something, my guess is you're not going to have scarred lungs at the end of it. Like, that makes no sense, right? Like, medically speaking, how are your lungs going to get scarred if you never had a if your lungs never hurt, if you never had a cough?
That's something that I don't know.
That makes no sense.
I don't know
sense.
If it's the virus goes in there and like
that makes absolutely
could
no sense.
Could eat at your lungs but actually not hurt you, but then down the I have no idea.
That's it's possible. I guess it's possible. Mm. But I mean, from just a logical standpoint, that sounds kind of like an ultimate fear-mongering right there. Well, we don't know what it does to these people. Even though they were fine while they had it, and they're fine after. 10 years down the road, though, all of a sudden they might spaz out and die instantly. Like I mean, that's crazy talk. That's like, that reminds me of like, you know, just believing in insane conspiracy crap to push your own agenda. We'll come back with more. Stick with us. It's Hour 2, 3 and Out. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. I had another thought during the break, too. It felt like, 2 weeks ago that everybody was on board with, oh, yeah, football going to happen, no problem. It'll just be, let's see how many fans and what we're going to do with fans. You know, maybe some places that aren't hit hard could have most of their fans. Maybe some places that are hit really hard will have none of their fans. In Europe, they're already playing soccer with no fans. So we were all kind of on the, well, they'll definitely play football, but there just might not be any fans. That'd be kind of a worst-case scenario. In 2 weeks, every metric for death has gone down more than we were there. But people are absolutely losing their mind about a topic, cases, that has no bearing on deaths. Why are people, you know, I mean, I know why. Because that doesn't sell clicks, newspapers, and, you know, all that jazz. But, like, I don't know. I feel like even on social media, people just, they need to create emotion. And the easiest emotion to create is anger, rage, and fear. Like, hearing about a good story is harder to get your point across with.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I feel like we're freaking out about a false narrative right now. Now, it you know, deaths could follow. They could. They haven't yet. They could. But a lot of the data that I follow says that, I mean, it's just as likely that deaths will continue to go down or stay pretty flat. I mean, they can't really go down much more at all. In fact, the other day, 3% of the deaths in the United States for the day were COVID. 3. Yet we have changed our way of life over 3% of the deaths. There's 97% of people died from other stuff, and we don't change our behavior about that.
What? When was this?
like last week.
So in the midst of the spike?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's when the deaths have been lowest, so it would only be better if it was a different time. I mean, we typically have, what, 8,000 deaths in this country every day, and, like, I don't know, I guess it would have been Sunday, we had, like, 285 from June 20th, 285 for COVID. So, you know, 7,700 and something from other stuff.
I would imagine one other or multiple others were over 3%. Over 3%.
I mean, I'm sure it depends on how you categorize. If you lump obesity and heart disease in with then cancer, I was saying
car crashes, right?
Car crashes.
Like, car crashes as an example because
right.
Do I drive 70? Not that it's always your fault, but that's the same thing with COVID. Like if you're careless and you're more likely to get it and you get it and you pass away, okay. If I'm careless in the car, right? If I'm not paying attention, if I'm speeding and it's wet or whatever, like...
No, driving's the perfect example because people always say, well, you can't make me fat. That's why it's different with, you know, your health choices with eating and exercise. It's like, well, you can be texting on your phone and run into me and kill me mm-hmm. on the roads. But we don't
psycho-manage,
you know, driving.
Yeah, we have regulations.
Yeah.
And we follow them as best we can.
Like mentally, that makes no sense. Mentally, to be more afraid of something that's less dangerous makes no sense. Like that's just the most.
Well, I've said it. It's just because it's unknown. Like we're comfortable with the risk of driving. We're comfortable mm-hmm. with the risk of the flu. It's been here. We are conditioned. This is still relatively new, so it's uncomfortable. People always hate what they don't understand. I don't think anybody right now has a good understanding of this virus. And fear is outweighing the data, which is being inaccurately reported anyway. Mm-hmm. So,
Got some good feedback on Twitter. Tim said the issue will not be that there are 5% of athletes with COVID. It'll be that 30% of a single team gets it all at once.
Right. That's what I was saying earlier. Like, what do? You just say we have enough people to play, but it's too risky for them because they're going to have to pull double duty and they're not as good. Like, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what you do as a team or as a conference.
Go ahead and get it. Take the Clemson approach.
I'm not saying now. I mean, first of all, Boomer Esiason, like, officially accused Dabo. Well, not officially accused. He said it's not outside the realm of possibility. And people are, like, killing Boomer Esiason for it. But I'm saying in the moment, like, week two. Tennessee's getting ready to go play Oklahoma. Outbreak. Because they played
Charlotte.
Yeah, played Charlotte, and a bunch of Charlotte players had it, didn't know it. Now Tennessee, one guy had a fever. He was asymptomatic. Other than that, the fever went away, but we tested him. We tested the whole team. 30 guys have it. Do you go to Oklahoma and just leave 30 guys at home? What do you do? What do you do?
I mean... I don't know.
In that, I mean, even if you're like, nope, they're asymptomatic, they're going to play. Well, then does Oklahoma say, no, you're not bringing the virus here? No, 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 no.
They probably would.
That's what I'm saying. But
I wish society would just say.
No, I'm with you, but I'm saying like they can't do that. They can't.
They could.
Not publicly.
They could if we weren't idiots.
They could, but they won't.
I mean, they've gaslit you to where you say we can't do that, but we absolutely could if that's what society would agree
on. What I say when I say they can't is that they won't. They would not do that because of the pushback.
Right.
Of the hysteria.
No, you're right.
Oh, Oklahoma did what? That's what I'm saying. Like, they could. They would not do that.
Right.
So what happens? But my problem is so let's say you just cancel football season. How do we know this is moving it to spring, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do we know we're not in the same situation? How do we know we're not in the same situation next year? Sports just canceled
spring
forever?
Was the worst round of it this time in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
And summer's going to be the worst round of it in other areas. And if it's as bad as these, you know, people that are afraid of it think, it might be fall for some other places.
Mm-hmm.
So what, like, it makes no sense.
But I'm saying, like, realistically, I don't know what conferences and teams will do in that because it's going to happen, right? I mean, Clemson's going to say, hey, our whole team's had it. We've got antibodies. We're ready to play anytime, anybody, anywhere. Let's just go. So they probably wouldn't care, right? Like, they wouldn't care if, oh, yeah, you got 20 guys that have it, but they're asymptomatic and still want to play, bring them. Let's play. But if you've got two teams that haven't had it run through and, you know, 10 on this team, 15 on the other, all of a sudden test positive, what's the decision?
Well, dude.
If you've played a game, though, and 15 players on your team have it, I mean, the likelihood is that your team has it. You know what I'm saying? At that point.
Right, right. They should just accept the risk and go and play. Because once it goes through your team anyway, you're safer.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, really, Boomer Esiason's comments kind of sound crazy.
Well, it's exactly it's what we've been saying. On like, we kind of joke, like, who's going to have his team drink from the cup? It's like, in a way, it might be the safest thing to do for your – well, maybe not the safest per se, but it might be the smartest.
If we can – if we can have our mainstream media – talking about how great Andrew Cuomo did as he let the virus kill most of their old people in New York, and now that they are past it, he's doing so great, then why wouldn't we employ that strategy to everything? Maybe we should turn this around. Be like, okay, great, yeah, Cuomo did a great job. Let's do that here. Everybody go out and party. Let's all get it. Let's get this over with. You see how hypocritical this is?
Oh, absolutely.
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, I'm being sarcastic, but...
Not about the hypocritical part.
Right, yeah, the first part. Our deaths are way down. Yeah, because he killed everybody. That was, you know.
People can't die twice.
Yeah, they can test positive four times. But somebody said they had heard somebody test positive four times.
Because
they want to get back to work.
Yeah.
So they keep going. Like the first opportunity that they could be, get tested. Ah, still positive.
Have I had it for 10 days or have I had it for one day? I'll go get tested in 4 days.
Next day. Get tested the next day. Positive.
Theoretically, you test positive. You could go every day, test positive 13 times. Mm-hmm. One person, and that's 13 cases.
To see the first time. You ain't got nothing else to do.
Dying's not the worst. You can still vote.
You still vote if you're dead. Is that what you're saying?
A lot of cities, yeah.
Well, you got the stimulus check if you're dead. So that worked out for some dead people. We'll come back. Final segment, hour number two, right here on Fan Run Radio. Final segment, hour number two. Back to the kind of public school thing. Captain Touchback said in Jefferson County, Kentucky, which is Louisville, after they went to virtual learning, over 4,000 students were never in contact with the school system again. That's 4% of the district, but that's a lot of kids to lose track of. 4%. Just gone for the rest. I mean, just gone.
Is that like students that don't have access to virtual learning capability? So they just...
I'm sure it's a lot of them. Some of them might just... Their parents don't make them do it. They're just gone. I mean, we have all this truancy, you know, stuff. I mean, there are parents that won't send their kids to school unless they have to, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the majority of this is either they couldn't or... I mean, if the kids are older and the parents have to go to work and the kids just don't, you know, just don't make them do it on their own, or they won't do it on their own, or the kids are younger, so they have to go stay with somebody. Maybe they have to go stay with a grandparent or something who doesn't have internet or whatever. I mean, I can't imagine. My wife and I both had to work. You know, she's essential, like actually essential. Radio is essential because it's communications and broadcasting in a way to send out information. I mean, we're very fortunate with situations with our children, but I can't imagine like what do you do if you both have to go to work or you're a single? I mean, we see all the stats about single parents. I mean, there's, I feel like there's as many single parents as there are two parent households, one way or the other. And like, what? I can't imagine I know how hard it is just on a day when it's like unexpected, like, you know, you do have like the snow day, you have to make arrangements. Remember that kid that was like walking around in the rain And luckily, one of his neighbors just let him into the house because
he got sent home early and nobody was home.
Yeah, the mom, you know, she's working a job where she can only check her phone on her breaks, and they let everybody out of school like within an hour, mm-hmm. and she had no idea that her kid was on his way home on the bus. He gets off the bus, dropped off in the neighborhood. She's not home. House is locked. I mean, he's way too young to just be like latchkeying it.
Yeah.
And it's pouring down rain, and he's just wandering around the neighborhood in the rain.
We've lost our mind.
I found the Boomer Esiason stuff. That's pretty interesting. Apparently, he said it very carefully, so he wasn't like accusing them, but he was kind of saying they wouldn't mind if they just kind of let it happen. I mean, this will be really different if like if 37 players gets it, then like two die every time.
Sure,
right?
Yeah. That would obviously change the narrative for sure.
And it's really hard to watch a video of kids that age group partying on their own, making mm-hmm. the choice mm-hmm. to expose themselves, and then say we have to protect them from even getting it over here with a different group of the same age group, same kids. Like, and I don't know. I mean, if you sent all the college football players home, like, they all wouldn't just sit there quarantined, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I saw Russell tweet the other day that how athletes just in general treat their where they go and what they do would be a big part of how often that would happen, like where cases would pop up. Because apparently in like the Premier League, like those players are making sure that they stay, you know, to stay negative, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But would NFL players do that? I don't know. NBA players are going to be in this bubble. They're trying to kind of manufacture that scenario.
Yeah, and it came out yesterday that Adam Silver is going to be able to enter and exit as needed. And so everyone's like, wait. If we're quarantined in here, you can't come in and break our quarantine just because you're the commissioner. So now that's a big deal.
Didn't Stephen A. allude to these players are going to be sneaking out to where they can, I guess, kind of get their fix the night before a game as it relates to women?
Mm. Well, I didn't hear that, but yes. it's not unlikely to think that, yeah, they're going to want to leave the facility.
Has anyone checked the Orlando strip clubs?
Can't say that I have.
Like, to, I guess, have an idea of how James Harden will be performing.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, ask James Harden. He'd know.
Both on and off the court.
It was one of the first things we talked about on the show regarding the quarantine. Like, you cannot, Nate, you said it earlier, you can't call plays that people can't execute and then expect it to go perfectly. Like, you cannot perfectly quarantine. Even the quarantine itself had loopholes. Oh, well, these people are essential. Are essential people also immune to coronavirus? No.
No.
I mean, even the dude who kind of not invented quarantine, but told everyone that he needed to quarantine was the dude who then had an affair with a chick.
And got...
And broke quarantine.
Yeah, yeah.
And now is, yeah, banished.
It just... I don't... It's like every... step we take to prevent it ultimately doesn't work. Maybe it slowed the spread. I think that's certainly accurate.
But then whenever you open back up,
that's why we read that one report about you got to go 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, or what, you know, whatever. They were thinking the incubation period about 2 weeks where you could have it be asymptomatic. But I don't know. Is that harder to execute than we're going to shut it down for 9 weeks and then back to normal?
I mean, you have enough data now to where I feel like you could just call the folks in Sweden and say, hey, what'd you do? And just start doing it. Because the ironic thing is their curve is the flattest. Like, it might not be the lowest, but it's the flattest. Japan didn't lock down. It's flatter and lower. Now, a lot of people give a lot of other reasons for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody always argues kind of to their point. But... I mean, Peru and Brazil are, you know, right in the same area. One locked down hard, one didn't lock down at all. Their numbers are the same.
They're also very high. Brazil, I think, passed 1 million cases, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. 59,000 deaths.
So locking down doesn't work. Opening up doesn't work. It seems like nothing works.
It's a virus. It doesn't care.
That's what I'm saying.
It doesn't care about what you tweet and how you look and who you blame. You either get it, you do, you know, it's just, it's all science, all of it.
I just think the global regulations for everybody did not make sense.
Right.
Like you said, yeah, like vulnerable people, at-risk people should be taken care of, should have a higher sense of urgency when it comes to distance, cleanliness. But when you make everybody do it, I mean, it's like what you just said. You tell people to lock down, people go stir crazy. They're going to find a way to get out anyway. And then when you open it back up, oh, man, well, now I'm free. So now they go and do things that they don't. They go to the beach. They go, what was the lake? Was it?
Like the Ozarks?
Is that what it was? Where they had the huge, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what people are going to do. It's like you tell them they're free. It's just.
It looks like Sweden's had the highest cases ever since June 1st. All their cases spiking again. June 1st, the whole month of June, spiked. Their deaths in the month of June, lowest the whole time. So, like, it's not crazy to think that this will just continue. Where we have high cases, very low death. We'll switch gears, get to some more sports. Kickoff hour 3 next.